Lecture 6. Jesus taught modern medicine and occupational therapy. We will see that that is true. He didn't teach a dogma or a creed. He didn't teach ethics, but he taught us how to live. O heedless one, how long will you choose to be heedless? And scoffers delight in scoffing, and senseless folk hate knowledge. Proverbs 1:22. We've already learned that there is but one mastermind in the whole universe, and that our minds are but a reflection of it. Few people know this, and fewer understand how it operates through the individual. There is but one mastermind in the whole universe. A wonderful truth that there cannot be two masterminds, there can only be one. And our minds are a reflection of that mind. We exist in it, and it exists in us. Very few people know this, fewer understand how it operates. We'll try and see tonight the great mystery behind this wonderful truth. In everything you see and touch, this mastermind operates. Without it, there could be no direction, no control. So we must recognize this mastermind in everything from the lowest to the highest. Then we know that all things are in their right place. No matter what you see, the beautiful flower, there's a mastermind behind it all, expressing itself through it. How could it come to be such a wonderful thing without this mastermind? And the greatest expression of all is you and me. Because of the fact that we can think. Because of the fact that we can discern everything that is relative to ourselves. And because of the fact that we can become aware of the consciousness or this mind in us, which is the ruling factor in everything in the universe, including the flower. How is it then that we can use this mind, or allow this mind to use us, in such a way that we become, as it were, the channels through which it flows? Well, it was the Master Jesus that showed us that way. How can I make you realize that the universal mind and the individual mind are one and the same? Because it cannot be otherwise. If you think that they are separate and distinct, then you create separation. And it is this separation in the mind is the cause of all our troubles. We create the separation. God doesn't create it. We put on the brakes. We've got to take the brakes off. God doesn't put them on, nor does he take them off. We have to take them off because we put them on. We have to eliminate separation from our minds because we accepted it. Therefore, we prevented what is known as the universal mind expressing itself through the individual. So, in fact, that the universal mind and the individual mind must be one, it shows there can be no separation at all between you and me. The truth is that the universal is expressing itself through the individual. When the individual realizes this, freedom comes. and the attitude of mind towards the external becomes entirely different to that of one who does not realize this great truth. Think now your attitude towards things external to yourself. How do you react to this? How do you react to that? What emotion have you to this? What emotion have you to that? Then you discern in yourself that great and mighty truth about yourselves. How is it then that we can arrive at the wonderful truth of this great story the Master tried to show the world, and yet because he wanted to give them the greatest pearl, that pearl of great price, refused it. His words were true. Do not cast your pearl before swine, lest it turn and rend. What a truth that was, the Master said. Why? Because they turned on him and crucified him. And he gives them the greatest pearl of all, that pearl of great price, beyond anything that man could think, was the realization of his oneness with the infinite life. But when we try to discern these things external to ourselves, we see them as relative things. Now, how can we come to the realization of this that is not relative? We become aware of it, that which is unanalyzable, that which is undiscernible. It cannot be discerned, it cannot be separated, it cannot be analyzed, nothing can be done regard to it, it is just it. You cannot destroy the ether, that's the basis of all matter, but you can change matter. But you cannot destroy the ether, because it's the basis of matter. Neither can you destroy the consciousness as the basis of your consciousness either, because it's the basis of all consciousness, it is whole. And how do you arrive at the awareness of I have found this way the easiest way. As I discern things and I watch them, I'm aware of something that is watching and discerning. Yet my thoughts must flow freely. I must not be caught up in the relative. I must not be caught up in my thought. If my thoughts seem to flow freely, no matter whether they're good or bad, I must not think of them good or bad, otherwise I'm caught up in them. I must not criticize them, or I'm caught up in them. I must not braid of them or fear them, or I'm caught up in them. I must discern them absolutely, impartially, completely, without emotion and without comparison of any kind. I must see them clearly without being caught up in them. Then I know that I'm free. But if I say, that's good, that's bad, and compare this with that, well, that which is analyzing is caught up in those thoughts, and I'm no longer free. And it is discerning your thoughts as they would pass across the screen without emotion of any kind, without being caught up in them, without comparison, without any idea of right or wrong, but with complete and perfect freedom. And as you recognize that which is analyzing, that which is seeing those things clearly and distinctly, then you know that they are not of you, that they have no power over you. You are free. I'm not going to say that you want to reach that at once, nor are you going to reach it in a year's time, but I know that you can grow into it, because the Master said these words, yes, the tree of life is your salvation. It's a spring of living water rising up to eternal life. It's like the seed, the small seed, the mustard seed, that is planted in the ground, that he says is like the kingdom of heaven. And the seed grows into a plant, and the plant grows into a wonderful bush, which is compared to a tree. And when we compare the smallness of the seed, the mustard seed, so very small, and then you compare to what that seed will grow into, it is tremendous. And it covers the whole world. That is to say, this is a recognition of the kingdom of God. First of all, it may be as small as a mustard seed, but yet it will grow and grow. The Master says, into that tree for which all the birds can rest and shelter under. Spreads its branches in such a way that all the birds can come and shelter under. Means that all the people of the world can shelter under, that all the nations can shelter under. And that's why it is growing that way. It is the same for you, but it must come first from the individual before it comes the property of the race. If you will just ponder in your own mind for a moment what this really means to you, you will soon give up your antagonisms, your fears, your desire to get even with the other fellow. In fact, your whole life changes from inharmony to harmony, and therefore from ill health to health. We have already come to the realization that thinking is creative. Yet we must become conscious of that which creates, for thought is but the product of something else which is greater, which is eternal. People have said to you, thought is power. I will say to you, thought is relative and has got no power of its own. I am telling you the truth. But those people who say that thought is power, they have not reached that stage of understanding of that which creates thought. They're still living in the relative, and they're caught up in the relative. Everything they do in their lives is for the relative. They pray for relative things. They ask God for relative things. When they pray to God, they pray to a relative God, something outside themselves. So therefore, the God that I know is not like that at all. The God that I know is within me, but he is within every other soul too. He's the creator of the universe. And it's the power within me that creates too, the same power, the same creative consciousness, the same power that creates thought. And that is why it is eternal and ever present. The form of itself has no power. It rises out of the formless. The formless is the only power that is. The form is the vehicle through which the formless expresses itself. And the formless is still in the form, yet retains its formless state throughout the whole universe. In that formless is the great intelligence. In that formless is the great consciousness, the creative power that is manifesting through the vehicle it created for its own self-expression. We have already come to the realization that thinking is creative. Yet we must become conscious of that creates, for thought is but a product of something else which is greater, which is eternal. Thus you will see that if you're continually fighting your work, you're only fighting yourself. When you struggle, you only create habit patterns which are pictured in your body and mind. The reason is not far distant, but right within yourself. The cause is within you, not outside you. There never has been a cause outside you. There has always been within the individual. There has never been a miracle performed outside the individual. The miracle is always performed inside the individual. And when Jesus said, "The men rise and walk," the miracle was created within the man, not outside the man. Do you know that when you realize full oneness of all things, you can begin to express the unlimited resources of the universal mind? That mastermind that controls and directs all things, large and small. Then let me ask you this question. How can this creative ability, this creative growth be used by the individual? Simply by discerning the relative and becoming aware, consciously aware of your own consciousness, the Creator. You will know that it is none other than the universal consciousness, the source of your power to think, to create. This may be hard to understand at first, yet the proof is that the consciousness of the universal mind must be the same consciousness in the individual mind, made in his image and likeness, for there can be no other being infinite nature. Who else could create except the infinite because he is infinite? That is why it is said by the ancients, he is omnipresent, he is omnipotent, he is omniscient. That is to say, that he is present everywhere, there is nowhere where he is not. He is omnipotent, that is to say, there is no other power but his, and all power that exists is his. He's omniscient because there is no other wisdom or knowledge or intelligence but his. And any wisdom and intelligence that you see is his, no matter where it may be. Whether it grows out of the ground, in the flower, or whether it grows through the individual. This must be realized by each one before it can be a reality, for this alone sets in operation the process of creative growth, which becomes automatic in nature and grows with understanding. Thus we realize what the Master meant when he said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." This is one of the greatest assets in occupational therapy. Let us see why. So I say that the Master was the greatest of all exponents in modern thought, in modern medicine, and in modern occupational therapy. He knew all the answers. When we hate our enemies, we give them power over us, power over our sleep, over our appetite, our blood pressure, our stomach ulcers, our health, our happiness, Your enemies would dance with glee if they knew how they worried you to death, how they turned your days and nights into a hellish turmoil. They would dance with glee, that's the only thing they would want to do. And because you hated them, you were allowing them to do those very things for you. You creating ulcers in yourselves. You lost your appetite. You couldn't sleep. Your health was impaired. And everything goes wrong because of that one thing. And Jesus comes along and he says, love your enemies. Do good unto those that persecute you. What a wonderful man, how he must have thought and knew all this story. If selfish people try to take advantage of you in your daily business, your daily tasks, just cross them out of your mind. Do not try to get even with them. You only hurt yourselves more. Remember Master's words, the least you do into one of these, so you do unto me. In other words, it means the least you do into one of these, you do into yourself. So if you're kind to an individual, you're kind to yourself. If you're unkind to an individual, you are unkind to yourself. Why are you unkind to an individual? Because you hate them. Because either you envy them or you're jealous of them. And what's happening inside yourselves all the time that is going on? You're not really hurting the other person at all. You are hurting yourself very much more. So in fact, it is other words. It means that the least you do into one of these, you do into yourself. And the more you do into anyone, the more you do into yourself. Perhaps you may think that this is a moralness of some starry-eyed idealist. It is nothing of the kind. It is just pure occupational therapy in its finest form. It has been proved that 90% of cases of hypertension, in other words, high blood pressure, causes chronic resentment and in many cases cause heart trouble. Hypertension, this blood pressure that's so prevalent today, nobody seems to be able to cure it, except those who know and understand. And I've never failed with a blood pressure case yet. Not one. Why? Well, first of all, I begin to take away the tension. The tension away from the mind. The cause of the tension. Then relax the body, relax the mind, take the tension off the vital parts, and the blood pressure disappears. The thing is so awfully simple, so simple that all the medical men doesn't know anything at all about it, and they can't cure you today. But I'll show you hundreds of them that I have cured of these troubles, and with ease, with simplicity. And I'm convinced that there isn't a blood pressure case that can't be cured. Here we have habit patterns externalized in the body. So when Jesus said, love your enemies, he was not preaching ethics, which so many people believe. He was really practicing 20th century modern medicine. He was showing you how to live, how to free yourselves from those things that injure you. When he told us to forgive 70 times 7, he was telling us how to prevent high blood pressure, stomach ulcers, heart troubles, and many other ailments. Forgive. An unforgiving heart is sure to make up trouble somewhere. You cannot get away from it. In his parable, he said, Forgive and you shall be forgiven. So how wonderful a truth it is, forgive 70 times 7. A person came to me some time ago with a complaint which she had over 4 years, which defied all treatment. She had the usual x-rays, all the round of specialists, without result. When I told her as soon as she would forgive her sister and become friends, the trouble would cease. She looked at me in amazement and said, "How do you know that I hate my sister and her husband?" I said, "By your complaint." She said, "If you only knew what they did to me." I said, "Go and read what the master said about this thing." She was supposed to be a wonderful Christian. Yes. Grand Christian. After a week or so, she returned to see me almost cured. She had made it up. They were friends again, everything forgiven and forgotten. In a fortnight, the whole trouble passed, and she was completely cured. That's only one of thousands of similar cases that can be cured by this way. And Jesus gave us the way for it. He was the greatest exponent of occupational therapy the world has ever seen. His teachings are more than modern medicine, because modern medicine really does not understand yet the teachings of the Master. But I know the application of his teachings will rid ourselves of all these troubles. And that's why I say he was the greatest of all exponents of occupational therapy, because occupational therapy is nothing more than a science of living. Jesus was right. He was 2,000 years before his time, and today people cannot see the wonderful truth that he's saying. When he said, "Love one another," he was telling us how to improve our look. When love flows out of your nose, your eyes, and your mouth, and your cheeks, they become rosy, and your eyes sparkle, and your smile comes all over you, because you are full of this joy. I know a woman who is so envious and jealous that her face has become haggard with wrinkles. A comparatively young woman who looks a hundred, although she tries to patch herself up with creams and powders, the disfigurement still shows through. All the beauty treatments in the world will not improve your looks if you harbor enmity. The best beautifying treatment is the heart, full of tenderness and forgiveness. A heart full of love, joy. How wonderful is the truth. Bear no ill will towards anyone. Forgive your enemies. Do good unto them that persecute you. And you would think it's a hard thing to do. Well, I'm telling you, for your own health, do it. For your own good looks, do it. For your own figure, do it. Hatred, antagonism, resentment, all these destroy our ability to think, to work, to create. Think now, when you hate, and you antagonism, you have resentment, doesn't that impair your ability to think? You're caught up in all these things that are destroying your health. First of all, your heart begins to flutter. Something flows through your mind. And all the time you're doing something, and this catches you up in your mind, and you forget what you're doing. Resentment, antagonism. You make a scheme in your mind how you're going to get even with the other person. Why leave him alone? Or leave her alone? What use would it be to you if you started the same game? If one person hates, why should you hate her or him? If a person is antagonistic, why should you become sick too through antagonism? Your ability to think, your ability to work, your ability to create is impaired much more so than anything else. All these things the Master put before you and said, do this, do that. And he knew what he was saying. You must get along with your fellows. You can prevent an inharmonious atmosphere if you will always remember the law. Always make the other fellow feel important. Again, Jesus' words come before me as a guide. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. How you get the best out of a person if you want to work on is to make the other fellow feel important. Make his job important. Make him important. Make everything around him important. Suffrage, who is passed on some years ago, was probably one of the great pioneers of goodwill in his business. When he would come through the shop, through his great warehouse in London, many of you have seen Suffrage's. There was only one of his many big establishments. And the little boy was sweeping or picking up the papers. He would stop and have a moment to talk with him. He didn't pass him by. And the little boy said, the boss, talk to me. I'm important. But not only did that to the boy, but he did it to every one of his employees. And why? We worshipped him and thought he was the greatest man on earth. And so he was, according to the best of all our instructions today. He followed out the Master's teachings, probably unconsciously. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. With most people, what do? Pass along the ceiling. The person who is inferior, they stick out their chest and say, I am an important. But the great truth is, he who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. That's another one of the great sayings. And I tell you that the law itself will exact every jot. It will be fulfilled. Kindness, forgiveness, love is the greatest of all qualities. With them, all other things fall into line. Your enemies would gloat over the effect they had on you by your hating them, making you tired, nervous, ruining your looks, giving you heart trouble, shortening your life. Therefore, to love your enemies is not the principle of ethics, but the law of self-preservation. The law of self-preservation. If you are not saintly enough to love your enemies, you can, for the good of your health and happiness at least, not hate, but forgive and forget. And that is one of the big things that we've got to do, is to forget. We say we forgive, but we have not forgotten. What a stupid fool he or she is when she says that, because they have not forgiven at all. In Isaiah it says, I've blotted out of my mind all your ill-doing for my own sake, says the Lord. Isaiah was a great man too. Isaiah was a great prophet. And I like to read Isaiah because it contains some wonderful truth. And then he says, yes, prove your innocence by anything that you have done, good or bad. Most people are trying to prove their innocence all the time. Try to shelter behind their goodness. All the time they are looking at the evil in the other. But Jesus comes along with his story again. He says, take the plank out of your own eye, you hypocrite, before you can see how to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. This is not a lesson in ethics. Don't think that. I'm not talking ethics to you. It's the last thing I would do. I don't want you to be caught up in ethics, otherwise you're lost. What I want to do is you to find yourself, to free yourself from all thoughts, from all emotions, good, bad, or indifferent, and come out in freedom. As free as God is. Yes, I have brought out of my mind all your ill-doings for my own sake. If we do not forget, then we are liable to kindle a smoldering fire that destroys our health, happiness, and ability to work efficiently. I must remind you again that this is not a lecture in ethics, but a lesson in occupational therapy. You have to forget to forgive. One is linked with the other. Because as sure as you're alive, that smoldering fire of a memory that brings antagonisms, that brings thoughts of enmity or jealousy, antagonism into your mind, kindles that smoldering fire in your body and in your mind. And comes up again and shows itself in the form of these invidious habit patterns. Where there is a will, there is a way. The will is not something that we have to create. It exists as the motive power behind all creation. Now listen carefully. People say, he's a weak will, or he has a strong will. That's all nonsense. It's the application that counts. The will exists as the motive power behind all creation, and when we become aware of our oneness with the whole, it operates automatically. The greatest will in the world is destroyed. Because if anything happens to that individual, he becomes like a babe in swaddling clothes. But the individual who is aware of his oneness or her oneness with the whole, this will operates automatically, and you see a transformation. Nothing if the external world affects them. Because they have that completeness, that inner peace, that inner calmness, where the will operates automatically. But we cannot have this will unless we forgive. Remember, when you forgive others, you are forgiven. In other words, the Father forgives all your trespasses as you forgive others. Their trespass. Again, it's true that it means to you that you are forgiven. All your troubles disappear. Forgiveness is one of the greatest things in the world, for your health, for your good looks. To be able to forgive, we must become big in ourselves. We must become absorbed in something infinitely bigger than the narrow centered self, is always affected by others, what people say or think or do. When insults and enmities which we encounter will not matter, we will become oblivious to everything but our cause. Jesus was absorbed in the cause of humanity, and he is still the greatest figure in the world even today. The insults are hurled at him by those who should have known better did not disturb his calm interior, because he knew, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a man. Is there any person today that is fit to be his representative? I would like to know. All these are self-imposed. Jesus said these words. Any plant that is not planted by my Father will be rooted up. That means that no self-imposed representative, no self-extolled or exalted representative can exist in the world at all. That will be rooted up. And what a truth it was. Where did he dwell? Did he dwell on the outer things? He wore sandals. He took the little children in his arms. He said, the like of these that make up the kingdom. If you harm any one of these, you harm me. Therefore we see how wonderful the truth is to be able to forgive. O heedless ones, how long will you choose to be heedless? And scoffers delight in scoffing, and senseless folk hate knowledge. Great men will always be denounced and insulted, but they are too wise to retaliate. Take some of the great men of the past and the present. When they are attacked and abused, they smile, for they know a smooth tongue turns away wrath. I think one of the greatest of all premiers in the world was Mr. Massey of New Zealand. The history of this man, although he's not so well known as some of the greater, he was a man of great strength and purpose. But he never attacked anyone, neither did he retaliate to any attack upon himself. He brushed it aside with calm words, with a peace that he understood within him. He's loved by everyone, and I knew him well myself. I knew him intimately, and we used to talk together about those things. And I knew well that in his heart he knew something, although he could not define it. There was something there that was great. Yes, so great men know that envy and jealousy in the mind of others makes them say and do things that the same person would not do. Therefore, I would say that a person who has hate, deep hate, a person is so filled with integrity, the borders of insanity. What would they do? What have they done? Have they not tried to shoot one another, destroy one another? Now listen to these words. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good unto them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven. This will give you the peace that millions have sought in vain by other means. Yes, millions have sought for this peace, but they have not got it. They have tried, but they did not know how to get it. But here are the words and the means of how you shall get it. Listen to these words. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good unto them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven. Try it and see, and you will find it will give you the peace that millions have sought for by other means and failed. Then along with your fellows is part of your regeneration through occupational therapy. Then do unto others what you would have them do unto you. You want the approval of others with whom you come in contact. You want recognition. You want at least a feeling of importance, no matter in what capacity you are present engaged. No matter whether your world is small or big, the same rule applies. No one wants cheap, insincere flattery. But you do want appreciation. So give unto others what you would have others give unto you. When and where, may you ask? My answer is now and everywhere. When your mind is trained to see the beautiful in life, you will soon become beautiful too. What you gaze upon, you bring forth. A true thank you, I mean it, for the smallest service will pay big dividends. When you have said something nice to someone which makes them happy, does not feel happy too? In fact, it makes the whole day brighter and better. This is occupational therapy in its finest form. A few words will make all the difference. Try this out someday and see what happens. When someone does you a turn, say how charming of you, how nice of you. You are really a kind person. These act like oil in the cogs of the daily grind. No matter if you see the person daily, it makes no difference. Others will like you, and you will soon begin to like yourself. He is like a tree planted by the stream that bears fruit in due season, with leaves that never fade. Whatever he does, he prospers. Psalms 1:3. Benediction. Thou rarest of hearts, amidst the prejudiced minds and bitter hatred, thou hast shown us how to treat insults, how to forgive others that trespass against us. Thou didst shed thy love upon all with equality, and show us how to become attractive and sweet with loving kindness. Thou didst love the stray as much as the good. Didst thou not say, leave the 99 and go find the one that is lost, so that the fold would be complete? Thou hast taught us how to free ourselves from self-torture and remorse by loving all who love us, unloving all who love us not. Thank you.